Well, good morning and welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God. My name is Pastor Mike, for those of you that don't know, and I want to say that it is my absolute honor and privilege to bring the Word of God this morning, to share the Word of God that He has put on my heart. And I'm so happy that each one of you are here today. Now, whether you came willingly or you were drugged here this morning, let me just tell you, God wants to speak to you and He wants to move in your life. Amen? Last week we had the honor, and I have to share this because this is incredible. This speaks to what God can do. I feel like my voice is like just going now all of a sudden. Last week we had the honor of celebrating our wonderful mothers. Now, compare year over year. Last year, does anybody remember how many moms we had? 13. This year, we had 25. There's a caveat, hang on to your applause. We had 7 moms who are regularly here who were not here last Saturday or Sunday. We would have had 32 moms had every mom been present. So I say praise God for that. And by the way, if you're a mother and you did not stick around until the end of service last week, we have a gift for you. We would like you to receive it. So please see myself or Alicia at the end of service. We want to make sure you get that gift. We continue on today in our relationship series. This is a 5-week series that we're going through that I believe God has challenged me to do. And quite frankly, let me tell you, it's been a challenge for me. Ask my wife. Normally, I have her proofread to make sure my grammar and my Linder knees is correct in my sermons. And I had her read it 3 times this week. And this is a challenging thing. And it's really interesting. This was supposed to start out as relationships pertaining to friends and family. But I was challenged in the fact that what does all relationships have to deal with? Boundaries. In order to have healthy friendships, healthy family relationships, boundaries have to be in place. And it's just a little bit more interesting that I had 2 conversations this week before I even really had full direction where I was going on this. Both happened on Monday. 2 separate people, separate times. They don't know who, what. It had to do with boundaries. And so I said, okay, Lord, where does this take us? And I hope I'm able to develop that and to show you what that looks like today. And my prayer has been that, Lord, you would challenge us. That you would stretch us, that you would reveal to us areas that we need to apply these principles that we're going to learn today. But my prayer has also been that when we see these principles and we apply them and we see the truth of God's Word, our lives will be better because of it. So today's message is titled, Healthy Boundaries, Healthy Relationships. And quite honestly, I don't know that I've heard a sermon preached in the church about healthy boundaries in relationships. Pertaining to what I have known, does anybody remember when we went through Andy Stanley's small group stuff, guardrails, right? That was really good. And a lot of times what we take from that is setting ourselves up to not fall into temptation and sin. It doesn't really talk about that relationship aspect, right? When we think relationship with a Christian, what is 99% of the time the first thing that comes to our mind? Love, right? You just love unconditionally, right? It's constant love, and that's it. Let love lead. And I'm going to challenge that a little bit today for us. And so I would encourage you, have an open mind, have your heart open, listen to what the Lord says, and take down notes so you can go back and read through the verses I'm going to share today, and you can verify whether I'm crazy or not, okay? So today we're going to talk about personal boundaries in our relationships with others and why they are important in our life. So let me invite you to open your Bible this morning. I hope you have one or someone next to you has one that you can open with. If not, no worries, it'll be on the overhead. But open your Bibles to John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. And while you're opening there, I want to start with defining personal boundaries. Here's the definition of personal boundaries. Personal boundaries are the limits and rules we set for ourselves within relationships. A person with a healthy boundary can say no to others when they want to, but they are also comfortable opening themselves up to intimacy and close relationships. Somewhere along the way, Christians have adopted the idea that having boundaries is inherently negative. So when we talk Christians and relationships, we think love. They define love as having no boundaries at all. And today I'm going to suggest that we have to have boundaries if we're going to be healthy Christians. Did you know that the Bible actually gives us some guidelines on setting boundaries? Jesus himself had his own personal boundaries. We're going to look at a couple of those today. I'm going to focus on this one example from John chapter 2. We're going to look at that example now. Let's read our scripture. Actually, let's do this. Let's stand and let's honor the Word of God this morning. This is all truth, all powerful, and it has the power to change and transform our lives. And so have an open heart as we read God's Word together this morning. It says this, John chapter 2, 23 through 25. Now when he being Jesus, was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people, verse 25, and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word this morning. Father, I pray that you would start to unpack this in our own hearts, what it means and what it looks like. And Lord, help us today to make decisions to set personal boundaries, healthy boundaries, so we can have healthy relationships. Father, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So this scripture is a small and oftentimes overread in scripture, right? You can just kind of breeze past this. It's three verses. However, it shows us that even Jesus Christ himself had boundaries. So we need context to understand this, don't we? Where is Jesus? He's right. Where's he at? Go back to verse 20. He's in Jerusalem, right? Verse 23. So this is pertaining to the new Jewish converts, okay? To people who saw and believed. So they have the Old Testament religion, right? You see the tension that's building here, right? Think Paul, right? We talked about Paul this morning, Saul. He was a zealot for the Old Testament. He thought he was doing right by God because of the religion. He had yet to encounter Jesus Christ. Jewish converts, who are people who are brought up in the Jewish faith and have seen the acts of Jesus and have that has to be a pretty difficult transition, right? That has to be pretty challenging. So this is pertaining to the new Jewish converts, to people who saw Jesus' miracles and believed in him. And listen, when I can't speak well, I go to others who can write better than I do. And so I pulled from Matthew Henry's commentary on this, and I'd like to share this with you this morning. This is Matthew Henry's understanding of what this is. Christ did not see cause to place any confidence in these new converts at Jerusalem, where he had many enemies that sought to destroy him. Jesus was very contradictory to the faith of Jewish people. He came to bring anew. So they were enemies. One, because they were false. At least some of them were. And they would betray him if they had an opportunity or were strongly tempted to do so. He had more disciples that he could trust among the Galileans than among the dwellers at Jerusalem. In dangerous times and places, this is Matthew Henry, in dangerous times and places, it is wisdom to take heed in whom you confide. Sounds like a boundary, doesn't it?
Yes.
Second one, because they were weak. Weak at heart. And verse 25, it reveals to us the reason why Jesus didn't trust in them. 25 says, and needed, let's read 24 through 20. But Jesus on his part did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. I wonder why that is. Who created man? He did, right? Who gave us free will? And so Jesus knew the very nature of who man was. And so he didn't believe in them, or he didn't trust in them, because he knew them. He knew what was in their hearts. He knew the wickedness of some, and he knew the weakness of others. He knows all men because he created all men. And so what we need to take away from here is discernment is key. There's boundaries. We need to know, we need to discern when is the appropriate time that we reveal things or we open. Some of us are an open book where we just pour out our entire life the first time we meet somebody. That's too loose of a boundary, right? Then there's folks that won't even talk personal stuff with their spouse. Guess what? That's too rigid of a boundary. Discernment. We have to have discernment to have these healthy boundaries and healthy relationships. Boundaries are important in our life. They save us from ourselves, and they protect us from others. Okay? Boundaries need to exist in relationships for love to be true, for love to be genuine, and for love to be purely motivated. Think of the lines on the road. Any road that you drive besides New Sharon's side roads, they don't, but highways. Think highways. What's on the road?
Line.
Paint. Lines, right? What do those lines mean?
Stay on your side.
Stay on your side, right? They are boundaries. Generally, nothing wrong happens as long as we stay in our boundaries. Now, there's an exception to every rule. Somebody might stop. They might keep going when you stop. We're talking about crossing boundaries today, okay? That's a whole other sermon we could talk about. When those lines tell us where we're allowed to drive so we don't cross over the boundary and hit somebody else, right? So those are a boundary that we just... with sometimes our cars. Listen, we're such bad drivers that today's cars keep us in our lane. Because we're so loose with our boundaries, we don't care. Cars had to start doing it for us. I know you think that's funny, but it's really kind of sad that this is where we're at. It isn't until we cross the line or somebody else crosses the line that we find ourselves in a dangerous position. And if we didn't have lines on the road, what would be driving on the road? What would it be like? Chaos, right? Who's to say who's at fault? Well, he was on my side. Well, who says that's your side? I was here first. Well, I left home 35. You know, listen, we have to have boundaries to have a healthy, functioning relationships in our life. Even in civil life, we have to have guidelines and boundaries so we can function as a society. So we have boundaries all around us. And so the question is why do we why do we not want to hold to boundaries in our life if it means we can be healthier because of it? Boundaries keep relationships healthy. The Bible is full of examples and places of places that we should have boundaries in our lives, areas that we should put stuff. And honestly, if you want to know some good boundaries you can set up in your life, go read Proverbs. Proverbs is a great spot to start if you need good biblical guidelines in your life, boundaries in your life. And so I would encourage you to read that. And when we start putting those boundaries in place and we start to ask God, where are some areas that I need to improve relationships, or where are some areas that I need to put some limits on this, we seek the Holy Spirit's guidance. I promise He will reveal to us how to set those boundaries. Now, does that mean that it's fun or easy? Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. However, that the Holy Spirit has led us to do it, don't you think it's going to turn out just fine? Right? Such as this example. I'll share one example from my life here. Proverbs 25:17. It says this: let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house. Does anybody know the other half? Lest he have his fill of you and hate you. I love everybody here. Don't worry about that. Here's a story I want to share, though. I used to live in the youth parsonage when the church still owned the house over there across from the funeral home. Used to live there with the youth pastor and various bachelors. That was kind of like, I don't know how we all lived, but we did. That's what that house turned into. And the youth pastor and I at the time, when we lived there, we had what we called the open door policy for our youth. So when they got out of school, where did they congregate? Our house. I had an Xbox in the living room. We had a fridge stocked full of food, and they were able to come, hang out, eat our food, play video games, and just have a spot where they could go. Now, there was a point in time when the youth pastor had some items of worth that went up missing. Can you see where the tension's going here? All of a sudden, we're questioning, can we have confidence in our roommates? Can we trust the people we're living with? And can we trust the kids? Can we trust the teens coming into our house? And so the response that we had to take was, okay, you can't come over to the house anymore unless one of us is there. No more free range in our house. Who opens up their house to a bunch of teens besides the youth pastor, right? Any takers in here? Okay. So we had to be vigilant. We had to put boundaries in place and tell the kids they could only come between these times because I worked, youth pastor had various things going on, and unless one of us is home, you are no longer welcome in our house. And do you know that that's a healthy thing to say?
Yes.
A lot of people take offense. Well, he won't let me come over. Well, guess what? Somebody crossed the line, and now we have to put boundaries in place to make sure that things don't go to that again. Because that, what happens, right? If we don't keep things in check, eventually things are going to get so bad that maybe we don't want to live there anymore. Maybe we don't want the teens over there at all because we don't trust them, right? And I'm not saying teens are inherently bad. Understand, that's not what I'm saying. Teens, I'm not putting that label on you. I'm simply telling a story of what took place at our house at that time. So we had to put a boundary in place, and because of it, then we were able to actually interact with them more. It became less about them coming and raiding our fridge and playing video games for hours on end. I'm sure their parents loved us. Teens, kids, adults, everybody. I think we can mostly agree here today that, to say that we respect boundaries. We understand that boundaries are actually healthy in our life. And so boundaries are important because it keeps others and ourselves healthy relationally. Can I get a raise of hands? Who needs alone time? Everybody, right? We need time in our own house, in our own, what I would call, our space. We need time to be in our homes, and we need to be able to do so without wondering, is so-and-so going to come walking through my door? Used to have a friend that literally was an open-door policy, and would no more than come in the door. If you ever been in our old house, okay, our back deck, there was the door, right? Right when you walked in the door, it was the laundry room, and right around the corner was what? The fridge. First stop was taking his shoes off. Second stop was seeing what was in the fridge before he made his way over to the living room. We need boundaries. Listen, we need boundaries in our life, in every aspect of our life. We need boundaries in our jobs. When you go home from work, guess where work should stay? At work. I see elbow prodding happening right now, right? Listen, this is something my wife has been so graceful towards me on. I used to work in, and for those of you who don't know, I used to be a car salesman, a lot of years, yada, yada, yada. I'd work 70 to 80 hours a week, and I didn't have a whole lot of time at home. One thing I tried to do was to never bring drama or work home with me. So when I was home, I would always be fully present with her and the kids as much as I can. Who knows, after a 70-hour week, sometimes you just need to get away from me, right? Let work be work. Let home be home. Separate the two, okay? That's just on jobs. How about boundaries with our spouses? Just, because I know us, right? I'm the extrovert, in case you didn't know that. She's the introvert, in case you didn't know that. I like to solve problems now. She likes to solve problems after I've had time to think about it. That's a boundary that I have to respect. I can't force that conversation now, because guess what? Nothing good ends up from it, does it? We're speaking from personal experience here. If I try to force that conversation, that is going downhill much faster than it is ever going uphill. And so that is a boundary in our marriage that I have to pay attention to. The other thing is, we need to have boundaries for our kids. Parents, put boundaries on your kids. Screen time limits, put boundaries. Snack limits, put boundaries. Respect. Make them respect you. Make them say please and thank you. Make them sit up and listen. We are to train a child in the way they must go. And if you are unwilling to put boundaries over them, they will not go the way you ever wanted them to go. Put boundaries over your kids. Who knows it? Sometimes you have to put boundaries on your parents. Teens, kids, adults. Sometimes you need boundaries on your parents. Sometimes you need to say, Mom, Dad, that's fine that you want to know this. This is none of your business. I'm not asking you for help in this. Now listen, if you take my words today and you twist them into something it's not, and I get a call from your mom or dad, we're going to have a conversation. If you are under 18 and you are living in your parents' house, you listen to everything your parents tell them, you tell them everything when they ask you, and you honor your mother and your father. Okay? First and foremost. If you're outside of the house, congratulations, you now are an adult and you have to figure everything out on your own. There are some things that are your business. There are some things that nobody else needs to know about. There are some things that if you tell them about it, it only creates more issues and drama in your life. Now, that's not to say that we don't seek out godly counsel. That's not to say we don't say, hey, I need some help here. Please help me. We also need boundaries over our friends. Friends can be friends and still have boundaries. We need to have boundaries on our devices. Does anybody know what screen time is? Somebody's train horn's going off. If you go to your settings on your phone, every phone has this, it's screen time, and it tells you percentage down from last week. I'll have you know that I was daily average 73% down on my phone from the previous week on having this in my face. It's easy just to sit down in the recliner and first say, listen, we don't know what to do with our hands anymore if we don't have this in our hand, looking at it, looking at social media, seeing what the world is saying, laughing at funny videos, whatever. Listen, you have to have boundaries on your device. Then we can keep going. We can say we need boundaries here, 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 and here. We need to set up boundaries that help foster healthy relationships. Now, I can't stand before you today and say these are the absolute non-negotiable boundaries that you need in all of your relationships. But I have... The reason for that is because I have a different personality than you. I'm different than everybody in here. Ken, I love you, brother. He wasn't saying that bad either. He was agreeing with me. Listen, I have a different personality, and my relationships are different, right? Your relationships might be a little bit trickier than mine are. Mine might be a little bit trickier than yours are. You've got to ask God, how do I set up this boundary? Or first off, what's the boundary I need to set? And then how do I set it up to maintain that healthy relationship? Because who knows, you can go rushing in and throw a boundary in place that really isn't a boundary, but it's a way to prevent something that you don't want to talk about or something, and you use it as a defensive mechanism to shut that person out. Who knows that's going to go south? Right? Healthy boundaries, healthy relationships. And I can't stand before you today and say this, that, and the other. However, there are a few practical boundaries that I believe every Christian needs to have that I can recommend to you today. And in fact, these are from Scripture. Jesus taught these. And these are personal boundaries that every one of us can put into practice today. Because healthy personal boundaries will turn into healthy personal relationships. Okay, you ready? Get your pen out so you can write this down. You can go read these scriptures later to make sure I'm not crazy. Ready? First one, personal prayer time. Jesus says in Matthew 6:6, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." If you don't have regular prayer time, you need to set that boundary. This is a non-negotiable every day in my life. Listen, nobody can make you do it. I'm not calling on everybody and saying, "Did you pray today?" Because you know what that turns into? A religious act that means nothing. Every one of us in here have complicated relationships. There's not a person in here that doesn't have. But if you don't speak, if you don't communicate in those relationships, what happens to that relationship? It dies. It suffers, right? It's one-sided. One person thinks one's okay, and this person over here is in grief and turmoil and thinks the world's going to end tomorrow because there's been no communication. How can we expect to ever hear from God the Father if we're not willing to say, "Lord, what do you have for me today?" So, personal prayer time. Second, this is important. Here's the second one. Oops. Not third one, second one. Hang on. Be honest and direct. Don't pressure people to try to get them to do things. This comes from Matthew 5:37. There's an inside joke here. I'm sorry. Last night, if you were at the party with the pastor, you would understand. It says, "Let what you say be simply yes or no." Anything more than this comes from evil. Be honest and direct. Now, I understand that sometimes, you know, we can be too direct. That was a weather update. And if we're too honest and too direct with certain people, we can actually hurt their feelings, right? Not everybody likes that straightforward approach. You can still be honest and direct without making that person feel like they're being attacked. There is a right way to go about it. And so we don't justify ourselves, "Well, I was honest and direct and he just couldn't take it." No, shame on you for not paying attention to how that person. Just because I am who I am doesn't mean I don't change who I am to speak to other people that I know. Third one. Oops. See, it's like delayed like 5 seconds here, and it's like I didn't tap the screen. Set priorities. Third one is to set priorities. This comes from Luke Chapter 16, verse 13, it says this: "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Now, I realize we're talking about the love of money, and do we love money or do we love God? However, the principle here is setting a priority. What will be the focus? Set priorities in your life. What is important? What must take place? Fourth one, please God, not people. This comes from John chapter 5, verse 44, and it says this: "How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God?" in anything and everything that you're doing, if you're doing it to get a good pat on the back and say, way to go, and you're not doing it for God's glory, you're doing it for the wrong reason. Please God, every day your focus should be, how can I please God today? And who knows that sometimes pleasing God's going to upset people. Believe me, it happens. Number five, obey God. Comes from Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 31. What do you think? A man who had two sons, and he went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he changed his mind, and he went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, I will go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father? They said, the first one. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. Now there's more to that. There's like three verses after that. You need to go read it. He's talking about John the Baptist who came to pave the way for Jesus, and that the tax collectors and prostitutes believed John's message of the coming Jesus, whereas the Pharisees did not. Okay? So that's in context. So obey God. When the Holy Spirit says, I need you to stop and pray for this person, I need you to call this person, I need you to go stand on your head in a gas station and wait for 10 minutes because somebody has challenged me. And I, listen, that's a true story. Not in my life, but it's a true story that's been well known and been documented. There's a story of a person who was at a conference and really liked the way somebody played piano. And they said, Lord, if you're real, allow me to play. And somehow they ended up on the piano and they played and never knew music in their life. And so when the Holy Spirit says do, what do? We do, right? That's pretty simple. Last but certainly not least, are you ready for this? It's going to blow everybody's mind. I see Deb's ready to start typing it on her phone. You ready? Connect with the Word of God. When's the last time you heard me say, it's been a while, let me invite you to open your Bible at a minimum 5 days a week. We're not doing our five-day Bible reading plan this year. We did it last year. But I hope each and every one of you who went on that journey with us in reading the Bible have stuck with the practice of opening your Bible every day to see what the Lord would say. This comes from 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Sounds like to me, if we focus on this, everything kind of falls in place, right? These are boundaries. These are the six that I'm going to leave you with today. These are boundaries that if you put these into practice, they will have an immediate impact on your life. Immediate impact on your life. And they will help springboard you to more leading from the Holy Spirit on other boundaries that need to be put in place in your life. Because healthy boundaries becomes healthy relationships. If we go around without staying in our lane, without holding to our boundaries, without respecting others' boundaries, we can find ourselves in situations that lead to conflict, that lead to bitterness, that lead to resentment, or it leads to sin. Some boundaries that when they are crossed, listen, they cannot be uncrossed. Let me say that again. Some boundaries, when you cross them, they cannot be uncrossed. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So we're going to touch on next week, not next week, but 2 weeks. We're going to touch on the next sermon here to come in this series. But if you're dating, I don't care if you're 55, 70, 100. I don't care what your age is. If you are single and dating, or just single, set boundaries. Respect boundaries. Do not get yourself into a situation that you cannot undo. God created, listen, if you got small kids, plug their ears here for a minute. God created intimate relationships between spouses. Period. Not dating partners chasing fleeting pleasure. I wish with everything in my life, hindsight is what? It's 2020. I wish with everything in my life that I would have held to that truth because of my choices in my young years. I carry baggage. I carry mistakes of my past with me. So, teens, adults, set boundaries in your life. Sometimes we need to set boundaries with our family members. If we're to use a buzzword, we're going to say toxic family members. Listen, we have to adjust sometimes our boundaries to protect ourselves and the relationship. The side note here is that doesn't mean that it's not going to be a challenge, that they're going to love our boundaries. Who likes having boundaries put on them, right? Like, if your relationship is A through Z, right? A lot of freedom, and then something happens where that boundary has to adjust, and now it's A through P. Now we're uncomfortable because now we don't get to cross over into this boundary that we used to be able to cross over into. It doesn't mean it's fun. But if it's handled appropriately, it promotes a healthy relationship. Think of it this way. I kind of hit on this a little bit ago, but think of it this way. How many married people, show of hands, how many married people share their finances with either their parents or kids? Everybody look around. Right? Very few. Some, it's necessary, right? My mom and dad don't know my finances. I don't think your mom and dad know. Maybe that's a boundary we need to talk about. I don't know, right? I don't know John and Teresa's finances. Is it any of my business to understand their finances? No, it's none of my business. So generally, unless it's a situation where we're required to, we don't share that information. How many single people over the age of 18 living on their own share that financial information with others in their life? When you say it out loud, it kind of sounds absurd, right? But that's a boundary. Now, we could talk about 100 others, but that was probably the best boundary I could put in my mind to make this make sense. That we have to have boundaries. If you run to a parent, listen, if you run to a parent or a relative or a friend to complain about your spouse after an argument, you're crossing several boundaries. You're doing more damage to that relationship than ever good could come out of it by going straight to the person. She heard everything. She said, That's a boundary that can't be undone. As soon as you run to mom and dad, brother, sister, son or daughter, relative or friend, and you throw your spouse under the bus, you've just impacted their trust, their opinion of that person, and have forever changed it. Amen. You have now altered the way that they view your spouse. Amen. So then while you all of a sudden go back and you guys say your sorries and hugs and kisses and relationship is good, now you got this person over here saying, hey, but remember, that person's bad. Remember, don't you want to leave that? And all of a sudden, there's that boundary can't be uncrossed. So listen, don't tell people about your junk. Go to God. I don't call anybody when Alicia and I fight. Do we fight? I mean, yeah. A lot of times I just have to be quiet and listen, right? That's something that's taken 13 years to learn, hasn't it? I'm not a fast learner by any means. We're just not even going to go there. Listen, healthy boundaries create healthy relationships. So when it comes to engaging our community for Jesus, when we consider what it means to engage our community for Jesus, here's some things that we have to understand. the church needs to understand, must understand and recognize that there's boundaries that it operates in. When we go back to the 70s, 80s, and 90s, it was very much fire and brimstone. You're going to hell, right? Anybody witness to that, right? I wasn't alive in the 70s, so I don't actually know about the 70s, but now it's turned into, oh, God is love. You don't have to change anything. Stay the way that you are. Everything's going to be fine. We have a truth to stick to. However, we can't shove that truth or force that truth onto anybody. We cannot go sin for anybody who thinks it's okay to go sin to bring people to Jesus. You're wrong. There's not a single example where Jesus sinned with sinners to bring them to Him. You can hang out with them. You can't sin with them. You have no leg to stand on if you are sinning with sinners trying to bring them to Jesus. You can be among them, but you can't sin with them. You also can't water down the gospel. Wrong is wrong. Evil is evil. Sin is sin. There's no changing. Listen, I don't define words. God the Father defines words. And if He says it's sin, I don't care how anybody interprets the Bible. If the Bible says it's sin and you disagree with it, you're wrong. You should read it again. And you should keep reading it until it clicks and you're like, yeah, that's right. The Bible's right. I'm wrong. God is the only moral superior. He's the one that defines right and wrong. We don't. I don't care about what your opinion is. And I know that sounds harsh, but there's too many Christians today say, well, you know, in the context. No, it's in the Bible is the Bible. If the Word of God says it is for all teaching, all reproof, and it's to make it so we have every ability for every good work, then we treat the Word of God like the authority of all things. Can we agree to that?
Yeah.
Jesus gave us a boundary to work within. Do you know what it is? The Great Commission. What does He say? He says, go and what? What's the next word? Go and what?
Make.
Go and make disciples. Not go and hang out with sinners.
Not go
and sin with sinners. Go and make disciples. How do we make disciples? We tell them the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We go and make disciples. How can you make disciples if you've sold a counterfeit gospel? Oh, listen, you don't have to change who you are. Everything's fine. Jesus will love you. Listen, you're right. They don't have to change who they are, but you're saying it wrong. They should want to change everything of who they are when they come into the presence of Jesus Christ. If you're selling it as, oh, you don't have to change anything, you're perfect the way you are, you've just sold them a gospel that when it actually comes face to face with them, they're confronted, do I keep following this or do I leave this? Let's follow the Holy Spirit's leading and let's share the good news and let's practice it within healthy boundaries. Church, if you would you just close your eyes, bow your head for a minute? Stacy, if you want to make your way up here. Healthy boundaries start with understanding, first and foremost, we need Jesus. We need Jesus in our lives to help us set and create those Christ-like boundaries. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, it says this, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So today, let us confess our sins to the one who is faithful to forgive. Let us adore the one who is mighty to save. So whether this is in a brand new way, whether this is in a fresh way, Jesus is waiting for you to turn to Him so He can wrap you in His love and in His forgiveness. If you've never said it today, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me of my sins. If you want to do that today, if you've never done that, or if this is in a you've walked away and you need to re-say this, would you raise your hand this morning? Wonderful. Well, church, here's how I want to close today. If we don't give God space and time, just like with prayer, if we don't take time to pray, there's a difference between talking and listening. And part of praying is listening. If we don't take time, if we don't give Him space, will we ever hear from Him? So here's what I want to do today. The Lord's ready to move. He's ready to speak if you will give Him time. So my question to you this morning is, will you wait upon the Lord? Will you wait on the Lord this morning? The altars are open. We have kneeling benches up here for those who need to kneel at the bench instead of at the steps. This is your chance to pray. This is your chance to thank God, to kneel before Him, to cry before Him, to worship Him, to seek Him, to hear from Him. It's also a time to receive prayer. So if you need prayer, I'm just going to invite you over here on the my right, your left, to the east side of the stage. We would love to pray with you. But if you're doing any other of those things that's just seeking the Lord, I would encourage you to come to my left, your right. We're gonna embrace the awkward. We're going to embrace the silence without music. Because once the worship team puts music or a melody that everybody knows, they start singing the song. And all of a sudden, we're no longer praying, but we're worshiping. And listen, sometimes we have to kneel before the Lord and say, what do you have for me? And then we wait. So I would encourage you, over the next several minutes, this is what it's going to be. Embrace the awkward. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Don't let time, don't let others, don't let your pridefulness keep you from connecting with God the Father. Amen.